Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll be speaking with Donegal boss Declan Boner ahead of the Dr. McKenna Cup trip to Antrim this coming Saturday. We also speak with Ulster GA journalist Declan Bogue ahead of the Ulster Club final between Kilcoo and Derrygonley. We hear from Strabane's Kieran McLaughlin, who will take up the role of Ulster president on Friday evening at the provincial convention. Patsy McGonigal talks to us about the book which will be launched this weekend, documenting Finn Valley's 50-year history. And Ladies Chairman Seamus Heron tells us about the success of the current fundraiser undertaken by the Donegal LGFA and how the money raised will help the training fund for the county teams. So, up first in Gaelic games, Donegal head to Port Glenoan to play Antrim on Saturday in their second game of the Dr. McKenna Cup. We will have full live match commentary from that game online on our website. I'll be joined by Martin McHugh from the 1:30pm throw-in, and it's available on highlandradio.com. A win for Donegal would book a place in the semi-final of the competition, which would mean at least another game before the league opener at the end of the month against Mayo. If that is the case, the semi-final would also clash with the college's Sigerson Cup competition, which would see the likes of the LYIT go up against University of Limerick. More of the regular faces will be back in the Donegal shirt this weekend, with Jamie and Paul Brennan and Jason McGee set for game time. So with a busy week of football on the senior and colleges front, Donegal boss Declan Boner says all players came through the games this week okay.
Yeah, not so bad, Oisin. Yeah, a lot of football being played now, early season. But yeah, to balance that, really, getting players time on the pitch and then making sure that they're getting their recovery, and also so yeah, we're looking forward to the match. The players came through on skate all right, and you know, big result for the LYT, which was great against Carlow, and we get ready now for Saturday's match against Antrim, and you know, Antrim had a good victory over Down on Tuesday night, so yeah, another good test for us.
Yeah, and just going back to last week, 9 senior debuts, Declan, you handed out to the young boys. A lot of them players, of course, part of the development squad. It was a big occasion for them young men, and I'm sure it made their week pulling on the senior jersey and making their bow for the county.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of young lads, and you know, those guys have been in over the last maybe 6-8 weeks training with us, and you know, deserved to get their opportunity. And yeah, it was great to see it, and you know, they all fared well, and as I said, it was nice to come out on the right side of a victory also. And no, it was good occasion, and you know, good Donegal support there too on the Friday evening. So as I say, we're into game two now, and some of those young guys will get more game time this weekend.
Yeah, is the starting lineup going to differ much this week from last week, Declan?
Yeah, there'll be a number of changes, Oisin. There'll be a number of changes to the squad, all right. So, you know, a couple more of the experienced players will come back into the 26, namely Paul Brennan will come back into the 26, Jamie Brennan will come in, Jason McGee will be there, maybe one or two more. We're just keeping an eye. We have another session to get in before then. But yeah, should be a number of those guys. We need to get that balance right also, because we're only 2 weeks out now from the start of a hectic and a very challenging Division 1 campaign. So yeah, we've got to be aware that we do need that experience back in the squad too.
Yep. Just a note on that game in 2 weeks time, Declan, will the starting lineup now in a couple of weeks in that opener against Mayo differ much from the side which started the last game in the championship in 2021 for you? Would it be far off being similar to that?
There's not going to be huge changes. There will be changes, yeah. There will definitely be changes. A lot of things can change, Oisin, over the next number of weeks. You know, there's a number of games to be played, and hopefully we can get another game under the McKenna Cup. There's going to be at least a couple of more Sigerson Cup games, and we have at least 12 or 15 of the squad playing Sigerson at the present. So there's a lot of things that can change now over the next 2 weeks. So maybe the team that I have in my mind at the minute to start against Mayo could definitely differ in 2 weeks' time. So yeah, we take it every training session as it comes, and also every game as it comes, and hopefully that we can get these players through now the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and the plan obviously is, Declan, to be playing matches over the next couple of weekends and the lead up to that. And if you are going to do that, you need a victory on the road against Antrim on Saturday.
Yeah, listen, it's a winner take all in terms of getting into another competitive match, which if you do get over Saturday, it's fixed for Tuesday night, which will clash with Sigerson games. But listen, it's that's what we're going into Portland on Saturday, looking for a performance and looking to get a result and looking at getting another competitive match so we can get a few more players back in the pitch.
Yeah, Antrim pulled off a result against Down this week. I'm sure you had that game watched, Declan. What do you make of the opposition for the weekend?
Yeah, no, listen, in the beginning, he's come in there over a year ago now, and then into his second year, and he's done a really good job. You know, they put a strong fight up against Armagh in the Championship during the summer, a good league campaign. You know, they've started this season now, they've been training really well. So, yeah, good result up in Uri, never an easy place to go to get a result, and they played well on the night and deserved their victory. So, yeah, it'll be a good test for us now on Saturday, and for these lads that are getting an opportunity to start in the match. So we know it's not going to be easy, but again, this is where you want a good challenge, and we get that from Enda McGinley and Anthem on Saturday. Stephen Leal's also in there as a coach, so yeah, no, they're well organised.
Yeah, have you ever played ball in Port Glenown before?
No, never had the opportunity. I'm looking forward to going up there, and the playing surface is meant to be very, very good, and it's a big pitch, but it's a good surface, very good surface. So yeah, looking forward to getting up there. Past year's new, so yeah, looking forward to it.
All right then, Declan, thanks for talking to us. The best of luck at the weekend.
Okay, thanks, Oisin.
Donegal manager Declan Bonner. That game against Antrim starts at 1:30 in Port Glenown on Saturday. And again, there's full live match commentary available on our website, highlandradio.com, on Saturday. One of three matches to take place in the competition. Tyrone are also in action against Armagh, Hayley Park. And Fermanagh are hosting Derry in Rosslea. The situation involving the other two Northwest counties, as we know, a Donegal win would send them through as group winners to the semi-finals. Derry need to win by 6 points or more against Fermanagh if they are to make it through as group winners from Section C. As for Tyrone, they're going to need a massive win against Armagh in Section B if they are to stand any chance at all of qualifying for the last four, but that seems a task too much just at the moment. Donegal hurlers are also in action this weekend in the Conor McGurk Cup. It's been a fantastic campaign so far. Donegal, of course, had a very, very comfortable and convincing win against an Antrim side which featured an under-20 line-out last weekend. And another result, another one for Donegal against University Ulster in Jordanstown on Saturday would secure a place in the final of the competition for Mickey McCann's side. Strabane's Kieran McLaughlin will be ratified as president of Ulster GAA at the provincial convention tomorrow evening, Friday. The Tyrone native has dedicated over 30 years to serving the association, having held positions both on and off the field. Speaking with Francis Mooney this week, ahead of taking the top seat in the province, Kieran says protection of the Ulster Championship is key going forward.
It's a massive privilege to actually, when you talk about, when you said there, it was following in the footsteps of so many great people that were involved in the GAA. And that's my delight about it, that I'm able to stay involved in the GAA and follow in those footsteps and hopefully can do as half a good job as those people.
What's your objective, or what do you hope to achieve in your term as president?
I suppose there's key things that we have to look at and continue to remember that we always have to look at, and that's obviously the provincial status of our championship is one big thing that we need to make sure is retained. I think the groundswell behind that now is clear that we all want change, but we want to make sure we protect the provincial status. With casement to make sure we try and get over the line. Obviously, there's a judicial review going on at the minute, but if we can make sure that certainly the vast majority of people are behind us and make sure that the stadium gets built, which is a key focus. And after that, I mean, there are definitely different things we need to do in and around, just tinkering with it around the edges and things.
Ulster football is in a very healthy position now at the minute. We've got Ulster champions now from All-Ireland champions from Ulster now again, and you want to keep that level going.
At the end of the day, what we have the best provincial football championship. We know that ourselves. It doesn't mean that we have the privilege to keep a provincial championship because of that. But what it does mean is that we expect that our provincial championship to stay competitive, and we hope that the other provinces, or we say to the other provinces, make yours as competitive, get your counties to compete as well as ours do, and try to develop as well as ours do to make sure that they can all compete with each other.
You've been involved in administration with Strabane all your life, and you know, I suppose you were administrator when you were still a player.
That's right, Francie. I mean, I started back way back now in the 2000, I think it was the first year was involved. So actually before that, it was 1998 then, I think about it. So I've been involved over 25 years, club chairman a couple of times, county chair, as you say, and been involved in various committees. The great thrill you get out of it, Francie, is that you're meeting people. You're meeting different people, different types of characters, personalities. You're working with them all, and you're all, everybody in the main, people are working to make the association the best it can be. We already are in a very privileged position that we have the best amateur association in Ireland, in the world, and what we want to do is continue to foster that and to make sure it's sustained into the future.
You'll want to get down to work straight away. I mean, this weekend is convention. You want Monday morning, you want to be sitting at your desk, as it so to speak, and getting on to the job.
Well, I suppose they'll have to make sure that the daytime job gets looked after first, but you're absolutely right. I mean, we only have 3 years, and 3 years is a period where you can do things, putting committees in place and putting people into jobs. You know, it's not something to do because you want to do it. It's because you want to make sure that you're trying to freshen up, give the opportunity to people who want to be involved, and as well as that, make sure that over this 3 year period we can hit some of the targets that I'd like to see us achieve.
And you have a great team of people, administrators around you in Ulster. We've seen you work well with them over the years, so you know that you're going to have the support of those people.
That's right. I mean, and that again, as you say, when you come through the system in your county and you've had the support of Ulster over that period of time, and then when you get involved in the Ulster Council yourself and you see some of the brilliant staff, in fact all of the staff, who will do their best to support you in any way you can. And I'm privileged to get into that position. We're now with a good group of officers, with Michael, with Declan, with the new PRO, whoever that might be. We're going to be able to work closely together just with those people to ensure that our volunteers on the ground get the best support they can, and we continue to thrive in Ulster.
Refereeing's a big issue for you moving forward as well, a very, very important role, and someone that the Ulster GA has a very defined approach to.
That's right, and Francie, look, my own stated view, and I've been a referee myself for a number of years, it's one of the most difficult, if not the most difficult job in the association, and what we want to do is make sure we give the right supports to our referees. We have a good bunch of people there already. We want to add to it, and we want to make sure that when we add to it, we're adding good quality referees to drive the standards up, because we already have referees refereeing all Ireland finals, as Joe did last year, for example, and we want to make sure that we've got a conveyor belt of referees coming through at that level that get the opportunities to referee at the highest levels. Alongside that, but we've got to make sure we've got enough referees to cover our games. Every county I speak to, every people in the county that I speak to that's involved with refereeing, there is a shortage, so we need to look, and I want that to happen. I want us to look at what we can do just to increase the numbers we have refereeing to ensure that our games are covered and we're getting the right people in to do that job.
Hurling, of course, not the strongest in Ulster. Football seems to take precedence over hurling in Ulster, but we do have pockets, you know, strong in Antrim and you know, parts of other counties.
Yes, and even as late as last week, Francie, the Ulster Intermediate Hurling Final with Banagher and Lisbalaw. I mean, Lisbalaw, to all intents, club, the only hurling club competing at a high level in Fermanagh, and we have to continue to support clubs like that that are doing their utmost in pockets across Ulster, that continue to promote what is, I mean, the best game in the world is hurling, and what we want to try to do is continue to support those that are doing the job well and see what we can do to help to support the other clubs that are starting to flourish. And there are a number of them in my own county in Tyrone, and as there are across the association in Ulster, and if we can do more to help them, then that's what I want to find out, what we can do and what that might be. In Ulster, nearly 400 clubs. Throughout the COVID pandemic, our clubs have been very instrumental in what has happened across the communities, and we want to continue. I want to make sure that relationship that we've developed in the wider community continues to be fostered. Remember, we're in the six counties, so the association in Ulster, we are already making great strides to be inclusive, and we want to continue to make sure that people recognise us as what we are, as an all-inclusive association wanting to work for the betterment of the people in Ulster, and that doesn't matter to us if they're who they are, what they are, as long as they want to be involved. And the last thing I'll talk about, Francis, our ladies association and our camogie association, our handball association, all elements of the Ulster association, which if we can continue to support each other to make them strong, to be as integrated as we possibly can be, then that's an opportunity that we need to take in Ulster. We are already doing very well because we have an integration committee which works closely. What we want to do over the next couple of years is to see if we can strive to make that even stronger, and thus be the forerunner for what hopefully will become a one association down the line.
Yeah, and just when we talk about COVID, it's been two difficult years, and we're not out of it yet, and you know, there are more challenges to come in 2022.
Absolutely, and I know, like, you know, we're already just at this moment in time, we're going through a high peak in number, a high volume of cases, and that's where all of us in the association, there are two sides to it for us, is that we have to be mindful of all that we do go into our games and involved in our games to make sure that when we do these, we do it safely, we wear our masks, we take all the procedures that we're asked to take. But the other side of the coin is actually getting out to our games gives us the opportunity to get away from that whole focus on the pandemic. It gives us all a lift to be able to go out and watch games of football and hurling and camogie. And given that opportunity into 2022, now when we have a split season, there's a full year of activity in front of us all, and let's hope it gets played the way we all expect.
That's Kieran McLaughlin, who will take up the position of Ulster president tomorrow evening. Back to matters on the pitch this weekend in Ulster. The provincial senior club final between Kilcoo of Down and Fermanagh's Derrygonley will take centre stage. Kilcoo are the defending champions and seen as favourites, having defeated the fancied Glen of Maharan in the semi-final. While Derrygonley had big wins over Tyrone and Armagh champions to leave themselves one win away from a first ever Ulster title. I've been speaking with Ulster GA writer Declan Bogue, and I began by asking him, are these the best two teams in Ulster at the moment?
There's so many good teams in Ulster. There's so many teams now that see themselves almost as quasi-county teams. So, you know, if we're talking like that, then others might feel, you know, they might feel stung by a description like that. But for consistency, right, okay, like, you know, since really, I suppose, Cross now are wavering big time, I think the Gweedore defeat to them, their defeat to Gweedore in 2018, wasn't it, Noma, was nearly a little bit of a nail in the coffin of that Cross, and they have to come away and reinvent themselves. So you've got Derrygonley, who I don't remember the exact scoreline, Oisin, but they played, like, you know, don't forget, like, what, since 2015, they've won every Fermanagh Championship apart from last year. Well, sorry, 2020, which was to Aneurin St. Joseph's, and there was no Ulster club then. But in every year since 2015, they've been in there. And I remember their first game there, they played Slotnail up in Owen Beg, and I think it was somewhere in the region of 16 points. Like, you know, it was a hammer. And I think Slotnail scored 4-13 that day. The following year, they came back because, like, that 2015 game was very much man-to-man. Following year, they came back with a completely different defensive structure, and they kept the margin to 5 points. And they've just improved and improved and improved. Like, you know, in the last two Ulster clubs, have knocked out Tyrone teams, which has really stung some people in Tyrone, because they would always feel that their championship is the best championship in all of Ulster. I don't know about that. I think it's the most exciting, without a doubt, most unpredictable. But whoever emerges from it, you know, there's a school of thought that they haven't been tested, or they've been tested too much, sorry, to, in order to actually get out of Tyrone. You can kind of look on the flip side of that and say, well, Derrygonley, you know, they managed to always time their run or something like that. But that's not I don't believe that's the case, because this year they're taken to two replays. They had to get a replay to get over Aderney in a repeat of the county final. And they're brought to a replay by Canolly, who are a common team there in Fermanagh. Kilcoo speak for themselves. They're the reigning Ulster champions. While they might have only won Ulster title, they were still about there for a long number of years, and that goes back, precedes Derrygonley. They got the final, I think, in 2013 against Cross. I think that one went to extra time. So they have been there ploughing, doing an awful lot, putting an awful lot in, having serious coaches. And, you know, they would see Derrygonley would see themselves as a sort of a mirror image, like, you know, that. You know, they had no real tradition up until 1995. They won their first championship. They won one then in 2005. They won one in 2009. And then they're on this major run. And I suppose it's not that they need to strike now when the iron's hot. They have, their team keeps changing. Much like Kilcoo, they're a completely different outfit than they were in 2015, in the way that Kilcoo are completely different than when they had some of their players that have gone on and retired, Marty Keane and all those kind of guys, like, you know, they've been and gone. So are the two best teams? Short answer, after having brought you around the houses, I think they are. I think we're in for a bit of a, I don't know if we're in for a clinker, because if you look at the Glen Kilcoo game, it was just, people would say that was the two best teams. But and it was decided really from a short kick out gone wrong, And before you know it, like, you know, the ball was in the net, Jerome Johnson scored the goal. But that game was kind of, oh, Jesus. It goes back to what your philosophy is in football. Do you enjoy open stuff and a lot of scores? You weren't getting it that day. But what you got was this incredibly tactical encounter where I looked upon it. It was almost better for you not to have the ball, because the moment that you had the ball, you crossed the line, opposition got their formation, their defensive formation in place. Very, very difficult to break down. But the moment that you overturned, you turned the ball over, then you had a chance. And if you could break fast enough, then you might get the score at the end of it. Like, you know, so we're in for a battle. Whether it will be the traditional wonderful open football or not, I don't think so. But, you know, you can't deny the two teams are in the final.
Yeah. 2 points separated the sides when they met a couple of years ago at the semi-final stage, Declan. Mm-hmm. So we're going to expect, there hasn't been much change in the last couple of years, squad-wise, for those two teams. So we're expecting much of the same. Could be a very low-scoring encounter. Kilku maybe going into this one as favourites, given the fact that they beat Glenn, Declan, yeah. Fair to say?
Yeah, and they have that experience of being the defending champions. They have more experience than Derry Donnelly, and being quite frank, like, very few Fermanagh teams ever find themselves being labelled or tipped up as favourites, and that won't concern Derry Donnelly. They'll be happy enough. I think that, in general, within teams, that never bothers anybody. This is the first time that a Fermanagh team have been in the Ulster Club final since the Gaels, Enniskillen Gaels, were in 2002. And before that, they were in the final in 99. So, no, it won't bother them, but it's probably fair, but at the same time, Derry Donnelly will look at, well, hold on here. You know, Dromore were heavy favourites here in the first game, and we took that to extra time. We won that. And I'm not sure who was being tipped against Clonairn. Probably Harps, all right, but it's a label that people put on it, and that's all it is.
Yeah, didn't they score 3 early goals in that game against Clonairn?
They were immense in that first quarter, absolutely brilliant.
Can they do the same against Kilku?
No, no, because Kilku are just too sharp, too clever defensively, and for as good as Clonairn are. There was a serious rawness coming, like, you know, their first title in decades and so on. Like, and, you know, as Derry Donnelly found out in 2015, Ulster Club can be very punishing. Sure enough, they made a comeback after Stephen McGullion was sent off, but they just left themselves too much to do at that point. But I don't see that happening against Kilku. Have too many good markers at the back. They're too organised. They just wouldn't be hit. They never have been hit for quick goals in succession, and it just won't happen again on Sunday.
What do you have to do then to beat Kilku?
Good question, Oisin. Jeepers. And I suppose
I'm telling you to it here. So
I know. I'm just trying to think back to when they were beaten, like, and what happened to them. But I just think you have to hang in with them, even at that. You know, Kilku are damn good. Like, you know, they don't tend to blitz teams. Like, they're a bit like Stotnail were, like, you know, half a decade ago, where they're winning games by 1 or 2 points. I think maybe if a team are that way structured, we always say if you get a good run on them, if they get a good first half, I've looked at the conditions, and the conditions are pretty mild. So it won't be that, like, they're facing into a big wind in either half. But if you get up on them by 3 points by half time, then Kilku are going to have to come out, and they're going to have to go a wee bit more man for man. And that might be the plan. I do know Derry Donnelly, and looking at them this year, there's an evolution of their style. And Shane Ward, who'd be familiar to your listeners, like, with his work with Donegal Miners and Eadrua, he has them playing a big high press whereby, you know, I remember at one stage in the county final in Fermanagh, Enniskillen Gaels simply couldn't get over the halfway line. They couldn't manage it because Derry Donnelly are big, big units. And Kilku maybe don't match up that way physically to them. So I think if they can just push hard and try and keep Kilku fenced into their own half, that might be the way they'll go.
Yeah. Well, Kilku, as we said, are favourites for this one. If they were to come through it, are Kilku maybe in a better positioned team to represent Ulster and challenging for an All-Ireland club title?
I don't know. I just was looking at Gaelic Life this morning, and Kevin Casty was talking about this very thing, and he says first Ulster, then Ireland is the headline on his piece, and he kind of thinks that whoever will come out will be a serious representative for Ulster. And I mean, it all depends on the other teams that emerge from the provinces. Like, Pierce's are a defensive, doughty kind of outfit. Like, really what you're getting into at this stage anyway is there's no duds, there's no gimmies, there's nothing like that. Like, you know, Kilmacud would be very focused, like, on what, after what happened against Monolata in the TLN win 2018. They'll be desperate to win an All-Ireland club with this team, just with sort of age profile and so on. So, look, when you get to that stage, like, Cara Finn's no longer a proposition. They were, like, they're obviously gone. We've got Pierce's from Roscommon, and you've got Kilmacud coming out of there. So, look, it all depends on how they match up then after that.
That's Ulster GA writer Declan Bogue taking a look at the Kilcoo Derry-Gonlay Ulster Senior Club Championship Final, which is on this coming weekend. If you go to our YouTube channel, or indeed to our website, HeinenRadio.com, you'll be able to watch that interview in full, where we also speak about the three games this weekend in the Dr. McKenna Cup. Tomorrow night, Friday, Finn Valley AC, Woolanvale, Beyond the Line, Finn Valley Athletics Club, A History, a book marking the club's golden jubilee. Pierce O'Callaghan, the head of competition management at World Athletics, will perform the official launch of the book, which was written by Donegal-based journalist and author Chris McNulty. The launch will take place at the Finn Valley Centre at 6:30 tomorrow, Friday. Patsy McGonigal says there has already been strong interest ahead of the release.
Well, very good, very positive. Obviously, you know, the interest is pretty strong. So, we've been putting tidbits out there, you know, of that period, that 50-year period, and just to entice interest, really, and interest very, very strong. Obviously, just to repeat again, there were so many people involved over that period. You know, since day one, you know, building a sport that basically didn't exist in this area, and that history is ready to rock and roll now tomorrow night, and you know, 6:30 start, and just telling people maybe if they would like just to drop in and you know, maybe get a copy, and I feel it's a great publication. I feel it's a very professional publication, and it does justice to the 50 years.
Yeah, obviously yourself and Chris have worked close together in the past with Relentless, Patsy, your own story. How much work has gone into this book?
Oh, serious amount of work. We were very fortunate, Oisín, in that, and Chris has done a massive job, I have to say. I really give him great credit. But we were very, very fortunate over the years, you know, that we retained, you know, pretty much all of our photographs from those early days, you know, right through the decades. And, you know, that was a great source, an absolutely brilliant source. You know, the local media were very helpful, and in the sense that, you know, I was close to the local media throughout that period and was able to access, as we went along over the years, able to get photographs and keep them and hold on to them. And, you know, so we have hundreds and hundreds of photographs. Obviously, we only use so many, but we were lucky to have that record, you know.
Yeah, obviously there's half a century there to document 50 years of the club, Pat. So maybe give us some of the highlights that we can expect to see in the book, possibly.
Well, I suppose really it's about a development of a club, first of all, an athletics activity. Called a meeting in Jackson's Hotel in a September evening. Never ever thinking or planning it would go anywhere other than to get children at that time running around McCool Park. That was the only facility we had. They were very open to allow us to get in there, and just building it. And then, you know, there was it basically built in on the athletic front. It built into a situation where, from school sports to children to very young children, right through to the Olympic Games, to success at European level, international level, and Ulster and national level. So it was a story of it was a story of success, I suppose, really, and a lot of hard work and a lot of good people, good sound people working with the same ambition and aim, and that worked. Then there was the other aspect, which has been recorded pretty well in the book, you know, the development of the facility, which we're obviously very proud of and which we feel is an excellent facility, and probably no equal to it in athletic terms, you know, in the ownership of an athletic club in Ireland. So it's the building of that and the effort that went into that and recording elements of that, you know, and that's another parallel story going with the athletics, and then making the point, you know, that we were active in the community, and that we were a club that and a centre then, and eventually a centre that was open to everybody, all sports, all activities, and that's very well documented now with rugby and soccer and with all sorts of swimming and all sorts of activities going on there, you know. So it's a busy place. That's the centre that is, and the athletic, thankfully, I seen the athletic continues to be very successful.
Yeah, you've got a man coming to the centre on Friday night that you know very well and you've worked alongside for years, Patsy Pearce O'Callaghan, an Irishman that's now head of competition management at World Athletics. He's going to officially launch the book for you.
Yes, that's correct. And, you know, Pearce obviously Donegal connection, his father Bernie from Killybegs, and very involved in the sport of athletics and still continues to be involved. But Pearce is one of the head honchos now in World Athletics, which is really, really, not only is it unusual for an Irishman to be in that position, but it's unique. Nobody in the history of Irish athletics has been in that as influential a position in the sport worldwide. So we're very happy to have him. We're very, very happy to be able to say as well that the foreword for the book was done by Seb Coe, you know, the president of World Athletics and so on. And there's elements like that in it. So look, we're looking forward to it. We're just hoping people will grab a piece of local history, and you know, that'll help. That'll be helpful, and it's all part of a process, I suppose. Really, I mean, 50 years, you celebrate it, you get the story out there, and then you stop talking about it, and you move on. You know, that's pretty much my attitude, anyway.
Yeah. Just looking at the press release that came out, which announced Pearce O'Callaghan as the man that will launch the book, and he said that the history of Fun Valley EC is absolutely remarkable and it could serve as a blueprint for clubs anywhere in the world. Do you think of it like that, Patsy?
Well, you don't actually take time to sit down and think of it like that, but it's very true what he says. I mean, when you read it and when he says it, yes, you know, many people would come up to you and say, Lord, you have a brilliant this or you're brilliant that, you know. But, you know, in fairness, you don't go around clapping yourself in the back every day, because that'll not get you very far, you know, Washington. So basically, I do believe that we have an excellent blueprint. And one of the things that amazes me in life is that, you know, Athletics Ireland or indeed Sports Council or indeed all these organisations, they never ever come along and discuss, well, how did you get from A to B and how did that happen and how did that happen and how did that happen and, you know, how did you develop it and what moves did you make to do that and, you know, or how did you engage the community and stuff. And I'm always a wee bit surprised that has never happened, but that's out there in the domain of other people. But we're very proud of the facility, obviously very proud of the facility, very grateful to the people who continue to work and look after the place and keep it neat and tidy and provide facilities for not only the local community, but for anybody that wants to come in there and use them, you know.
Yeah, okay. Just finally then, Patsy, listen, we still have the short days and we've got the long evenings, the dark evenings, but I'm sure the book will be a good read to full time during the coming weeks.
Yes, and it'll be a good thing to sit in the house and people to relate to it. You know, we have related some interesting statistics. We haven't bored people with statistics. We have told it. The format is interesting. I believe the format is interesting because it's told as a story rather than deadpan statistics, which would be boring to a person that wasn't into athletics. So it's a story, you know. I mean, the most recent story, in fact, which is in the book, believe it or not, is young Conor Bradley, who played for Liverpool the last night there in the Premier League, you know, who would have been with us as a young boy and then went on now playing in the Champions League recently. You know, there's all those kind of stories in the book of people who have developed, and I'm just making an aside, like Georgie Kelly, who would have won Nationals with us and is now Player of the Year in the League of Ireland, you know, things like that. So we're telling it in a story format, and then we're acknowledging some of the great people that some of whom sadly are gone now, but the people that were part of the story.
Okay, listen, Patsy, thanks for joining us as always, and the best of luck to yourself, the club, and of course to Chris with the launch of the book on Friday night.
Thank you very much.
To rugby, the two North West senior clubs will once again clash in the All-Ireland League on Saturday as the second half of the season gets underway. City of Derry sit 5 points above the bottom two going into their Division 2 C game against mid-tabled OMA. OMA have home advantage and will be looking to avenge the defeat to the Derry men just before Christmas. Alec McDonald says the win for either side could prove important down the line.
I think it's very important, Oisín, because Derry had a very morale-boosting win in the last game. They had back-to-back games. That was the ninth game, the end of the first campaign. Now they're into a match number 10. Derry won 20 points to nil. Those four points were very, very important for them because it took them up to 14. At that particular point, OMA had 18 points, didn't get anything from that. OMA are in sixth position on 18. Derry are in eighth, as I said, with 14. But, you know, they're only 5 points ahead of Clonmel with 9 and Sunday's well 5. And it doesn't seem much, but a defeat for Derry on Saturday and a win for Clonmel would see them level. And this year, the bottom team is relegated, but the second bottom team has to play in a couple of games, as far as I know. It hasn't been decided yet. So, you know, it could be the bottom two teams could be in real trouble. Let's hope that's not the case. But I was away for that game that Derry played, Dilma, down at Judges Road. And when I saw the result, I was pleasantly surprised, in a sense, because in the league fixture way back in September, OMA put 50 points in Derry without a reply, but obviously things have changed and Derry have improved greatly. But nevertheless, that was a very, very good result, 20 points to nil. But I wouldn't, if I was a Derry supporter or a Derry player, I would be going up to OMA and I would be determined to get that result, because OMA on their own ground, and they'll be smarting from that result down in Judges Road. And, as you say, a result for either team on Saturday can mean a lot to this season.
Yeah, we're going into the second half of the season, Alec, and I think it's fair to say that if both clubs are really to stay out of the bottom two, are they going to have to win more than the three games, than the third of the matches that they played in the first half of the season?
I think they have. In OMA's case now, if they were to win on Saturday and go up to 22 points, that would give them a slight platform. They have a couple of home games coming up. I was looking at which they would be looking to target. And in that one, I mean, it's quite obvious looking at the league table and looking at the results. And Derry won the end of 240 plus results in that one. Enniscorthy and Skerries look to the two teams that will be promoted. So really, you're talking in terms, and then there's Bangor, who are, I think, 10 points behind, but they're still way up there. So really, if you look from OMA down to the bottom, that's the bottom six sides. You know, results home and away every week are very, very important. And all it takes, you know, with getting 5 points for a win, if you score your four tries, and some other team doesn't get anything, all of a sudden there's a real sea change in the table, as we saw last year. The one thing that Derry have to worry about is that if you look at their aggregate score or the points against, they are second, way over 100. And the only the bottom side, Sunday's well, are there as well. So, in a sense, if you had three teams, for instance, that finished 7th, 8th and 9th, and on the same number of points, the team with the biggest points differential, they would have to go into the playoffs.
Yeah. Just finally then, Alec, come the end of the season, if both OMA and City of Derry are to finish in the bottom half, saying that they stay out of the bottom two, the fact that they finished in the bottom half of the lowest division in the All-Ireland League, would that be seen as a disappointing campaign from the point of view of both clubs?
Well, Derry have struggled, as you know, over the last couple of years. OMA had a fantastic first season 3 years ago when they actually finished second, and were very unlucky not to get promotion, losing that game against Belfast Harlequins in Belfast, the game we covered. I mean, there was only a try difference in the game at that part. Obviously, you know, the first season up, Teams don't know you, and then after that, as I say, it's in the golf sports and soccer and Gaelic. Once they get to know how you play, then it's easier to go against them. But really, I think, you know, from now until the end of the season, both Derry and Omagh have to concentrate. There's 9 games left. I think they've got to win at least 4 each. And if they do, even they get a draw or even they have a losing bonus point or a try bonus point, to pick up a point even from some games, I went on about that for quite a while, but sometimes bonus points at the end of a season can be the difference between promotion and staying up.
That's Alec McDonald talking rugby here on The Score. Finally, just back to Gaelic Games, and the Donegal LGFA are over halfway through their 5-week-long worldwide fundraiser. They're asking friends across the globe to join them virtually in covering 40,000 kilometres while raising money, which will go towards the training fund for the various Donegal ladies teams. The full details are on the Donegal LGFA Training Fund GoFundMe page. I've been speaking with Donegal ladies chairman Seamus Hearn this week, who said the event has had a great response.
Our treasurer, Declan McDermott, kicked off the initiative, I suppose, and we thought it was a great idea. The traditional fundraising events such as selling tickets and bucket collections that due to COVID don't work anymore, and we had to come up with something new. So I suppose the concept is that we walk around the world using our supporters and their contacts around the world, basically by contacting Donegal people across the world. We hope to complete the 40,000 kilometres, which would be massive, and make some money in the proceeds.
Yeah.
In the process.
And there seems to be a very good response to it, Seamus, because when you look at the GoFundMe page, you can see that there's numerous people right across the world have been taking part in this and donating. So it's proved to be a winner so far.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Look, when we put this out, we had no really big expectations. We thought, look, let's try it and see what happens. We're amazed at the response, and it's going very well. I suppose around the Christmas and the holiday time, it went very well. And then, even though the weather wasn't great, and I suppose people back at work, it's probably slackened off a wee bit. It's probably down to weekends now, and we would hope that people will over the next few weekends, that people will get back out there at the weekends and get the message out there, nominate people, friends and people across the world, as it's been doing, and hopefully we will have a gather momentum again before the end.
Yeah, all this money is around raising funds for training. Maybe you might give us an idea, Seamus, of how the money raised is going to be used.
Yeah, at this time of year, with any outdoor sports, I suppose, facilities are always an issue. Within Donegal, a lot of clubs shut down their pitches to give them a rest over the winter months. Unfortunately, it coincides with inter-county teams, and the same applies to the men as well as ourselves. At the moment, we have 4 inter-county teams. We have development squads, and they're all in action around this time of year, and because clubs are shut down or the pitches are shut down, it's a struggle for everyone, not only us. So we use some clubs still give us access, colleges give us access, and the GA Centre in Conwy, we get access to the GA Centre in Conwy as well, and we appreciate all that. And without those clubs and organisations giving us access to their facilities, we wouldn't exist. AstroTurf and 3Gs and 4G pitches and facilities are very useful at this time of year. And we know, look, there's an expense to those things. There's an expense in the upkeep of those facilities. We know from our own clubs what it takes to run clubs and what it takes to keep the facilities in the good shape they are. And all clubs in Donegal at the moment, as we know, have improved their facilities over the years. And we appreciate the use of those facilities. And look, sometimes we get in and we don't get charged. There's no fee. And other times there's a fee. If we're using lights or using dressing rooms, where you're using showers and that, absolutely, there's expenses, and we appreciate, we know that, and we're entitled to pay. There is probably a bit of a perception out there, or maybe a misunderstanding, that the LGFA and the GAA are all one body. That's not true. We're totally separate bodies, and we understand that the GAA have ploughed ahead and put in facilities in the county, the likes of the GAA Centre in Conway, over the last number of years, and you know, we've been getting the use of that, and we're entitled to, as a separate organisation, and we're entitled to pay for the use of that, and that's fair enough. Fair play to the GAA, and I congratulate them on that achievement. It's something we've talked about at different times, about maybe trying to do something on a smaller scale for the LGFA, but that requires major funding. And I suppose maybe up until now, our numbers weren't maybe high enough to justify that. It's something we probably have to consider even going forward, but that's for another day.
But are the numbers improving? Are the numbers getting bigger year on year? You mentioned that you've now four inter-county teams. Over the last couple of years, has the exposure that ladies' game has been getting added to that the numbers are growing in Donegal, Seamus?
Absolutely, absolutely. I just had a quick look at numbers there recently over the holidays, and our membership in 2014 was just over 2,000. Our membership last year was over 4,000. And out of the 40 clubs, clubs in Donegal, we had 37 clubs participating in ladies' football last year. We think we'll have 38 this year. So, absolutely, our numbers have been increasing year on year.
Yeah.
It's still the fastest growing sports sort of, you know, the participation is growing, and that's across the world. Yeah. I think from what I can gather. I'd like to, you know, thank the media, yourselves, Highland Radio, and TG Cahir in particular, both from a media point of view, for the exposure that ladies football has got over the last number of years. And look, we know from because of COVID, we have live streaming regularly, and that's been an initiative from the LGFA in recent times. So look, all that is very useful for getting our product out there, letting the people see the skills that ladies bring to the GAA game, or the Gaelic game, and that is very welcome. And I want to thank you, yourselves and the other media like TG Cahir and that for that. It's brilliant.
As you mentioned about the men's GAA body and the ladies and the link that's there, and there has been a lot of talk over the last couple of years, of course, of both becoming one, which it's not the case at the moment. But going by all the talk that there has been, Seamus, do you feel that the two bodies should be closer now today than what they actually are?
Yeah, I suppose, look, that's for... There has been talk about integration, and there has been moves, in my opinion, in the right direction. We are a lot closer to each other now than we've been in the past. I've been involved in ladies football for the last probably 12 years now, and I see a massive change in that regard. Look, I suppose these things are a slow process, generally a slow process. They generally work from the top down, and there's probably issues that the people at the top know about that the people on the ground aren't aware of. But look, eventually these things usually turn, and the membership usually dictate how things will finish up. And I suspect that could be the case and in this scenario as well, over time, but it is generally a slow process.
Yeah. When do you expect it to happen, or do you expect it now in the next couple of years, Seamus?
Look, I suppose I expect that things will get closer. I think over the next couple of years, whether we'll get to the point where it'll be all the one, I'm just not sure. I suppose that's I think that's for the members on both sides to decide eventually, I think.
Yeah. Okay, and Seamus, listen, we wish you all the best with the year ahead on the Ladies Gaelic Games front. Thanks for talking to us, and every success as well with the fundraiser that's ongoing at the moment.
Can I just thank all our sponsors and all the people that have supported the initiative at the moment, and all our sponsors over the last number of years. It's very much appreciated, and get out there, get walking, and if you can spare a few bob, we'd very much appreciate it.
That's Seamus Hearn, and that is it from another edition of The Score. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you can nip over to the playback on demand section of highlandradio.com. Our next sport here in Highland is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. So what's left of your Thursday, have a good one.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.